I'm from North Queensland, and my grandmother and mother's people were descended from the Croydon region of the Gulf of Kapucharia, which is the Takalak people. I had a lot of strong links with a lot of communities in Cape York and the Olaya clan groups as well, with reviving a lot of traditional knowledge, which is how all this work started.
Okay, so is that the traditional fire management?
Yes. Indigenous fire management has been something that has been high on the agenda for a long time now, going back at least 25 years, when walking country and being on country with a lot of elders in Cape York.
So how did you learn the traditional fire burning?
Well, the traditional fire burning came up with the need to record Indigenous knowledge before it was lost. And I started working with the Kuku Taipan elders, the late Dr. George Musgrave and the late Tommy George, and those elders and myself. We started to record knowledge because we started to see the young people not picking it up, and the landscapes were quite sick, and there was an urgency to get that down before we lost it. And from there, you know, the old people kept on complaining about the landscape, that, you know, it was sick and overgrown and not healthy. And the reason for that is because they couldn't apply their practices to country. So when we were recording knowledge, we found that there were certain plants that we couldn't record, and food. And fire became high on the agenda because we needed to get the country healthy so we could open all the other doors of knowledge in recording all their knowledge on plants and medicines and stuff. So we couldn't really do much without getting the fire down as our foundation. And that seems to be really high on the agenda for the elders at that time. And still now it's really high on the agenda for just about every community in Australia.
So that's burning the shrubbery away?
It's more than just burning. And what people got to realise is that Indigenous fire is not just about lighting a match. There's many, many layers of knowledge. As I said earlier, it just opens up many doors. But really, fire is about you know, looking after country and holistically keeping everything healthy, with everything right across the board, including people and animals and plants. And fire is just not applied in, you know, in the winter season. It's applied all year round for different ecosystems. It's quite complex.
Do you do this with the CFA as well? Do they practice this?
Yes, we first started off with just Indigenous communities, and like going back 20 years when we're getting our first burns going on Olaya country, which is a Kuku Taipan country, it was really hard, you know, because pastoralists and national parks, they weren't even thinking about Indigenous fire management back then, and their burning practices were totally different to what they're doing today. And so it was really a really hard slog right from the beginning. And we were mainly just mentoring Indigenous communities as we started to grow with our, you know, with our methods and applying fire. And slowly, slowly over the years, we started to get pastoralists coming to our burns, and national park agencies from many areas of Australia coming to our burns, and rural fire brigades. And now we have private landholders and the whole communities interested and coming to our workshops all over the country. When we burn country, we don't torch the country. We don't run lines of fire and rip torches everywhere. And, you know, it's really sensitive, and we need to apply fire into different systems in a very careful and sensitive way and respectful way. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like when you go into a sacred site, you know, you sing out to the spirits and you got to let them know you're coming. And it's the same when you put fire in a country. You got to let all the animals know, and let the country know, and even the spirits of that country know that you're going to apply that fire the right way. And the way we do that is putting the fire in the right way, and that is to, you know, the right ignition points and the right timing of year, and in a way that the fire burns as cool as possible, and slow as possible. And the way that is burning in circles, where the fire burns in a circle and not applied in a big line, a straight line of fire. And what that allows is the slow fire to alarm everything to know that the fire's there on their country now. So all the animals can escape, and all the little insects can climb up all the trees. And because the fire's in a circle and burning outwards, then everything from that 360 degrees can escape rather than being trapped in a boundary or burning inward. And so it's really, really about respect and respecting country and respecting what lives in that country when we apply fire to those systems.
Yeah, so is it spiritual, very spiritual with the fire?
Yeah, it's spiritual, it's all the above. And that's why it's really important that Indigenous fire is developed from Indigenous fire knowledge and Indigenous people, and it is run by Indigenous people, because there's a risk if Indigenous people are learning fire from Western ways of learning and having non-Indigenous practitioners teaching them, then there's many layers of that cultural knowledge that can't be taught, and many layers of that cultural knowledge that won't be revived if people aren't, you know, learning the right way in terms of Indigenous fire knowledge. And the way that we do it is rebuild on people's knowledge systems, mm-hmm. and share principles with clan groups, and getting communities, mentoring the communities, and getting the Indigenous identity and Indigenous knowledge strong and alive in this country, so that it then can contribute to the Western paradigms of burning, and also be the host and provide leadership in burning our country and reviving our country through cultural fire knowledge. We want to let people know that Indigenous fire management is burning for biodiversity, and it is hazard reduction, and it is protecting everybody, and that if only they could give communities that opportunity, then we could all move together and really show Australia that they're really doing something to revive our culture and support our culture and give us the opportunities to lead that into the future.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Victor.
Thank you.